This afternoon we open God's Word and we read from the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, we read from verse 17 to verse 24. And we read this in connection with the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Luke 10 from verse 17. Hear the word of the Lord. The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." In that same hour he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then, turning to his disciples, he said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." We go to the second last book of the Bible, the letter of Jude, just before the book of Revelation. Jude, we start at the beginning, at verse 1, and we read through to verse 9. "Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our Lord, of our God, into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels, who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under a gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued a natural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Yet, in like manner, these people also rely on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." So far, the reading of God's holy word. This afternoon, I preach to you the word of God. But first, we read together the Confession of the Church, Lord's Day 49 of our Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 49, on page 562. Page 562. Lord's Day 49, what is the third petition? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may deny our own will and without any murmuring obey your will, for it alone is good. Grant also that everyone may carry out the duties of his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. So far our reading from the Catechism. We now listen to the preaching of the Gospel, and we sing afterwards in response Psalm 34, stanzas 2, 3, and 7. Psalm 34, 2, 3, and 7, after the preaching. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, if you would go to a used bookstore, and if you would look under Christian fiction, you would probably find books that were all the rage some 20 years ago, written by Frank Peretti. Peretti, a Canadian born in Lethbridge, wrote several novels about normal American towns full of average people, many of whom regularly attend church. And when you read such novels, there is not much drama in the stories. A man comes home from his work, has supper with his wife, and goes to a meeting afterwards. Young people go to school, come home and do their homework. But as the stories develop, there are always two different kinds of characters in these books. Not good people and evil people, but evil people and weak Christians. Evil, unbelieving people and weak Christians. And what makes these novels special? Well, mixed in through the stories of human conflict, this conflict between evil, unbelieving people and weak Christians, in between there is also another story of angels and demons. And as long as the Christians in the story are lukewarm, going through the motions, not really living close to God, when that happens, the demons win. And so there is much more sin and evil in the world. But when Christians wake up from this spiritual laziness and start to make good choices, then the angels get the upper hand and they drive out the demons. And then the power of sin and evil in the world decreases dramatically. In the theology of Frank Peretti, what happens in North America? What happens in the world? What happens in politics especially, whether the world becomes more or less godly, that depends on the faithfulness of Christians. When Christians are strong in their faith, then God in heaven responds. Then the angels receive power to make things work out for the good of the church. But when Christians are not urgent and passionate in prayer, the angels become powerless and Satan wins. It all depends on us. And of course, this is not the Reformed faith. Instead, we believe that nothing really depends on us. Instead, God controls all things. We believe that God has a plan, and not a hair can fall from our heads without his will. Of course, we understand that there is a connection between heaven and earth. There is a connection between the activities of the angels and the lives of human beings. Reality is, when God's will is done in heaven, then it is more likely for God's will to be done on earth as well. And in one very particular way, when God's will was done on earth, then God's will could be done in a different way in heaven as well. I preach to you this afternoon the gospel of your salvation under the following theme: Jesus commands us to pray, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We will see this afternoon that this petition is a confession that the power of sin, which began in heaven, corrupted the earth. This petition is a shout of triumph because the victory over sin, which was obtained on earth, was put into effect in heaven. This petition is also an urgent request for total reformation to come down from heaven to the earth. Jesus commands us to pray, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We see first that this petition is a confession that the power of sin corrupted the earth. Now, when Adam and Eve were in paradise, they could pray, "Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done." But Adam and Eve could never say, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Because for Adam and Eve, the ideal was never that they should be like the angels and that they should serve God like the angels. True, angels were in heaven while Adam and Eve were on earth, but angels were only God's servants, only God's messengers. When God commanded, they obeyed. But Adam and Eve, God made them his children. God made them to look like him, to behave like him, to love him, to live in fellowship with him. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 3, Paul tells us that God created all things so that through the church, the wisdom of God might be made known to the angels. Through you and through me, the wisdom of God might be made known to the angels. That means when God created Adam and Eve, God's purpose was that Adam and Eve and their children should teach the angels what it really means to love God and to serve God. In other words, before the fall, it would have made sense for the angels to pray, "Lord, grant that we angels may carry out our duties as willingly and as faithfully as Adam and Eve are doing." Because it was God's plan that Adam and Eve should set a standard for serving God, and that the angels should learn from them and imitate them. Yes, that was God's original purpose. And then, already before the serpent came into the garden and tempted Adam and Eve to sin, already before that, in heaven, things went wrong. Things changed drastically. Satan and some of the angels were not satisfied to serve God, and they rebelled. And after that, Satan came into the world in the form of a serpent. His goal was to export rebellion from heaven to earth. And then Adam could certainly not pray, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Instead, Adam should have prayed, "Your will be done on earth, regardless of anything that has recently happened in heaven." Adam should have prayed, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." But that was not what Adam said. Instead, Adam did what Satan suggested. He ate the forbidden fruit. And so, the children of God, they blindly followed the servants of God on a road of disobedience and wickedness. God's will was not done on earth, just like it was not done in heaven either. And then this pattern, where first God's will is not done in heaven, and then afterwards that trouble is exported from heaven to the earth. That pattern repeats itself several times in the Old Testament. In 1 Kings 22, King Ahab, on earth, of course, is planning a battle against the king of Syria. And at the same time, there is a meeting in heaven. And then a lying spirit goes down from heaven to the earth into the mouth of the prophets who are advising King Ahab. A lying spirit from heaven gives King Ahab bad advice that leads to destruction and death. Trouble comes from heaven to the earth. And what about the story of Job? That story begins with Job, blameless and upright, fearing God and turning away from evil. There is nothing on earth that can turn Job's heart and make him sin against the Lord. But again, in heaven, the angels come to present themselves before God. And then the devil, he sets out from heaven on a mission to tempt Job and to try to make him sin. And so, at least three times, the pattern repeats itself. Trouble begins in heaven before it is exported to the earth. And so, it was not for Adam and Eve to pray, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Nor was it for Job or for the prophets in the days of King Ahab. Because although it is true that sin happened on the earth, and therefore people on the earth are totally responsible for all the bad choices that they make, nevertheless, the trouble began in heaven. And then the prophet Jude, he shows us one more example of sin and evil that is not of the earth, but belongs in the heavenly realm instead. Jude tells us that when Moses died, Satan was contending with the archangel Michael. Satan was disputing about the body of Moses. We understand when a man dies, he goes to the throne of God for judgment. And then God justifies those who believe in him. God receives them into grace and into heaven. But God condemns. God gives over to Satan those who live and die in unbelief. And of course, Moses was a child of God. And we have no doubt that Moses went to heaven. But we also know one time when God commanded Moses to speak to a rock, Moses disobeyed, and God punished Moses so that Moses was not allowed to enter Canaan. Instead, Moses had to die in the wilderness. And then Jude explains. Jude explains when Moses died, then the archangel Michael wanted to receive Moses into heaven. But Satan disagreed. Satan insisted that Moses had been unfaithful. He had no right to go to heaven. Moses should be given over to Satan instead and be tormented in hell forever. And this story is consistent with what we also read last Sunday in Revelation 12. Satan is the ultimate accuser of our brothers. Satan is forever finding fault with Christians. See what she is doing. Know what he did yesterday afternoon. How can God possibly save people like that? And for this reason, beloved congregation, we can pray, Father in heaven, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We can pray, Father, like the good angels are serving you, so grant that we may serve you in the same way, like the angels who did not fall and who do your will constantly, so make us obedient also. But will we say that what happened in heaven has always been perfect? Will we say that what was evil always had its origin on the earth? No way. In Genesis, sin came into the world from heaven. In Job, and also in 1 Kings 22, temptation to sin and all kind of trouble comes from Satan, who had to go to heaven to get authorization to do his dirty work. And in Jude, we also read about Satan in heaven accusing the saints and demanding that Christians should be sent to hell for the sins that they commit. When God created the world, it was good. Trouble came into the world from heaven. That's our first point. We will now see in our second point that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven is also a shout of triumph, because the victory over sin, which Jesus obtained on earth, was put into effect in heaven. Now it needs to be said that salvation is a gift from heaven. God in heaven planned our salvation. God in heaven chose us to be saved. God in heaven sent his Son into the world to be our Savior. That happened in heaven. But our salvation happened when Jesus was on earth. First, Jesus was tempted in the desert by the devil. And then, every moment of every day, the will of God was done on earth in the life of Jesus. And when Jesus did miracles, then many people believed in him, and they also began to do the will of God. When Jesus was on earth, looking at the world from his point of view, looking back from the time when Adam and Eve fell into sin until the time when Jesus is on earth, in all that time in heaven, nothing has changed, so that Satan could still go to heaven and could still plot and scheme against the children of God who were living on the earth, just like he did in the days of Job. And in the time of Jesus, Satan could still make accusations against Christians and demand that they be sent to hell, just like he did against Moses. When Jesus was on earth, looking back in heaven, there was nothing that had changed. But the earth was taking a giant leap forward. On the earth, there was real growth in doing the will of God. But Jesus still taught his disciples to pray, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." According to Jesus, heaven was still the standard for obedience that the earth had to follow and strive for. And we understand why heaven is the standard when we read Luke 10. In that chapter, Jesus is going to Jerusalem, and Jesus has sent 72 disciples ahead of him to prepare the way. Those disciples have been preaching the gospel and doing miracles, driving out demons. So, when these disciples come back to Jesus, they are excited because of what they have seen, because of what they have done. They are excited. But when they tell Jesus, Jesus answers, "Yeah, that's great, I suppose. But," says Jesus, "what is really exciting," says Jesus, "what is really exciting is that your names are written in heaven. And in connection with the fact that your names are written in heaven," Jesus makes another observation. Jesus says, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Jesus says, "What is exciting is not what you have experienced in your life on this earth. What is exciting is what I saw happening in heaven." Because in the Old Testament, Satan was in heaven, remember? And when Moses died, Satan was there accusing Moses, claiming that Moses should be condemned to hell, remember? So in Luke 10, when the disciples are excited because they have got power to drive out demons, Jesus says, "Peter, Andrew, James, and John, whatever you are doing and whatever you experience in this world is not really so important. What is much more important is that Satan is no longer in heaven. Satan can no longer accuse you before the judgment seat of God. That means your salvation is now secure. Your eternal well-being is now guaranteed. And that is the difference between heaven and earth, beloved congregation. Matters of eternity. Questions of eternal life and eternal death. These questions, which really matter the most, they are not determined on the earth. But they are determined by God in heaven instead. And that means we examine ourselves and we see that we have faith and we rejoice. We look at our lives, a day gone by or a week, and we see fruits of faith, good works, and we rejoice. Sometimes we see good things happening in the world, in the church, in our own lives, and we are thankful. But Jesus tells his disciples in Luke 10, the things that we experience, the things that we feel, even the things that we do, they are not really so important. Most important is the fact that your name is written in the book of life in heaven. What really matters? God in heaven has chosen you. God in heaven has promised that he will watch over you. He will provide for all your needs. God in heaven takes responsibility for leading your life in such a way that you will be blessed eternally and abundantly. And for this reason, Jesus teaches us to pray, "Father in heaven, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That means, "Father, What you have written in your book will never change. My name written in your book. My name written with the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, will never be erased. What is in heaven is fixed, and it will never be changed. And so, Father, grant that on earth we may follow the plan that was prepared and that was written in heaven. Grant that we may walk on the road that you prepared for us in heaven. Grant that we may walk on the road that leads to heaven. And yet, this is only one side of the story, brothers and sisters. Satan was thrown down from heaven, and so he can no longer accuse us before the judgment seat of God. And so our salvation, our eternal destiny is assured. But when John speaks about this in Revelation 12, John adds a word of warning. He says, "Woe to you, O earth and sea. Woe to you, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short." The devil, who was in heaven, the devil who was accusing us, accusing the children of God, demanding that we be sent to hell because of our sins, the devil is no longer in heaven, but he is on earth. And this is why Jesus told his disciples in Luke 10, "Don't get too excited about what you see and what you experience during your life on earth. Because in this world, there are very few guarantees. Today, you might see people who were sick being made healthy. You might see deaf people hearing and blind people seeing and lame people walking. You might see evil spirits being thrown out. Today, you might even see people who were dead come back to life. But what might you see tomorrow? What might you see next week or next month? Do you know how much pain and misery the devil will create when he is working in this world? Do you know how many lives he will ruin? How much unbelief he will create? You don't know," says Jesus. "And you don't want to know either. But there is one fact that you can always hold on to, and that is your names are written in heaven, in God's book. And you have God's word of guarantee that will never change. And for this reason, we will pray, Father in heaven, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, there is no longer a rebellious Satan who wants to accuse us. In heaven, there is no unbelieving world that hates us, nor my sinful flesh, against which I have to struggle my whole life through. Because Satan has been crushed and thrown out of heaven. Therefore today, Father in heaven, your will is done perfectly in heaven. And so work in us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to believe that our names are written in heaven. And help us to live in this world as your children, in the obedience that comes from faith." That's our second point. In our third point, we will now see very briefly that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven is also an urgent request for total reformation to come down from heaven to the earth. Again, very briefly, in the Old Testament, Satan had access to heaven, so he could accuse God's children and demand that they be punished and sent to hell. In the case of Job, Satan could get permission from God in heaven to make Job's life painful. Now, now that Jesus has come into the world to pay for our sins, Satan is no longer in heaven, and he can no longer accuse us and demand that we be sent to hell. And so our eternal salvation is secure. That's a good thing, obviously. But on the other hand, Satan is now spending all his time and all his energy on the earth, doing as much damage as he can to God's creation, and especially to God's people. Satan is working on earth, working in Christian churches to draw us away from God. Satan is also working in schools, in hospitals, in houses of parliament. Satan is working everywhere to do as much damage as he can, turning people away from God, making it more difficult for us to live as God's children. And so a question: are we really better off than God's people were in the Old Testament? Would it not be better for us if Satan was in heaven, arguing with God for all we care, and if he would leave us on earth alone? Would it not be better for us to serve God if Satan was in heaven rather than here with us, making our lives difficult? Fact is, Jesus also answered these questions in Luke 10. Jesus says, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." And that means danger. That means we can expect him to attack us and to show us no mercy. But Jesus also says, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you." Nothing shall hurt you. This is the Lord's promise. And, very importantly, the Lord who made that promise, he has now gone to heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of God. And from there he governs all things. He governs even over the devil, who is on the earth, who is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. The Lord Jesus promised us, "Nothing shall ever hurt you. Even the devil will never hurt you." And because this is his promise, we will pray confidently, "Father in heaven, when you created the world, you made Adam and Eve to be your children. When you created the world, it was your purpose that Adam and Eve and us, their children, should teach the angels what it means We will pray, "Father in heaven, when you created the world, you made Adam and Eve to be your children. It was your purpose that Adam and Eve, and we their children as well, should teach the angels what it means to love you and to serve you. But Father, we confess that we are sinful people. We confess that we often go our own way. And instead of teaching the angels what faithfulness and obedience looks like, we can only show them failure. But we believe, Father, that we will not always be what we are today. Instead, we believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, is seated at your right hand, and he controls all things, and he protects us so that nothing will ever hurt us. And so we pray that by faith in him, we may set our hearts on living as your children. We pray that by faith in Jesus Christ, we may learn to live in the obedience that comes from faith. And we pray that looking forward to the future with confidence, trusting that you will fulfill your plan in our lives, trusting that you will hold on to us like you promised, we pray, renew us, restore us, so that one day we will be perfect again, and then we will love you, we will serve you in the way that you planned. Father, make us become what you designed us to be. Make us become your children who love you and who trust you and who want to serve you all the days of our lives. Amen.